My guest this week is Mike Womack, and Mike is involved. He's the executive director of Feed America First, and we're going to talk about it today. It's a great nonprofit that helps people that have food insecurity, and that's an issue that I guess most of us would think in 2025 wouldn't be an issue, but it is, and Mike and his group do a great job. Mike, thanks for being on the show this week.
Thanks for the invite.
Feed America First, I know you've been involved with it for 13, 14, 15 years, but it's actually celebrating its 25th anniversary as a nonprofit, right?
It is. You know, and in that 25 years, I think we were trying to add it up, we've probably gave away over 200 million meals, which is incredible when you think about the amount of that, you know. And you're right, a lot of people think that hunger is a thing of the past, but it's just sneaky. There's people in your neighborhood, there's people in your school, there's people in your work that are hungry, and you just don't know it.
I was looking at some numbers, of course, off the internet with Google. Said 17.9% of all the households in the United States at some point experienced food insecurity or their lack of food availability, and that was back in 2023. And I know we have issues here with some of our school kids that they've created what we call the backpack program or PELP, that they pack food in those backpacks in every weekend or on fall break, spring break, summer breaks, holidays, those kind of things that they send home with those kids. If they don't, they might not have anything to eat.
Right.
And that's mind-boggling, isn't it, Mike, to think in 2025 of all the food availability that there is out there. I mean, and the food we waste too, don't we?
40% of the food still ends up in the landfill in this country.
That's crazy, isn't it?
It's a crazy number.
And so Feed America First, tell us about it. You're capturing a lot of that food and making use of it to get to those people. Tell us about Feed America and how that works.
We're located, we're based out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and a lot of times that makes people of my hometown of Cookeville shy away from us a little, but if you were to take 250 miles around Murfreesboro, that's our footprint.
Wow.
So like our second Thursday of every month, we are set up delivering food in Ocoee, Tennessee, and we've got another delivery at the same time in Savannah, Tennessee. So we're 250 miles apart. We also do North Alabama, North Mississippi, Southern Kentucky. We have a pretty large footprint.
That's amazing. So how's the operation work? I mean, you're getting this food from stores or whatever? How's it work?
A little bit. When we were founded in 2000, Tom Henry was our founder, and Tom came out of the restaurant world and realized, how can I make my knowledge of the food world to a better good? So through a Bible study, Feed America First was birthed. He realized at that point that there's so many great food pantries. Most churches have food pantries of some size.
Right.
And we didn't need to reinvent the wheel. What we needed to do was help them get more food. So we're almost the middleman, the bulk person on the middle side. We focus on rural, where Second Harvest, most people know Second Harvest, they focus more on metro.
Yeah.
And so, for instance, through our partner agencies of over 125 partner agencies, we'll feed 40,000 families a month.
Wow.
And if you do at a, you know, on an average of four people of a family, that's over 160,000 people
that you're feeding every month.
It's crazy. When I stop, it's really easy for me to sit and talk numbers.
Yeah.
But when I stop and think about the impact of 160,000 people, it's mind-boggling to me.
In a 250-mile radius around Murfreesboro.
And we know there's still people
that you're not touching.
We're not touching.
So how does that work? I mean, you have a warehouse in Murfreesboro that you keep the food at and then just distribute out of?
We have a 20,000 square foot warehouse with an 8,200 square foot cooler, 3,000 square foot freezer inside of it. So it's all industrial. We have four box trucks, two trailers, two tractor trailers. And, you know, through that, there's only eight of us. So when you think about what we can accomplish, and I say we're a faith-based nonprofit. So when I say we, I mean by being empowered by the Holy Spirit to make this happen.
Right.
And tons of volunteers.
Volunteers. So you've got these, grocery stores and places or that the food's coming from. And so do you have to go and pick it up at those places or do they bring it to you? How's it work?
We do. We've gotten to the place now where, this may sound crazy, we're a little too large for the typical grocery store. But what we do is we will set up one of our partner agencies in a local area. If we get a store that calls us and says, hey, can you help us out? We don't want to throw this away.
Yeah.
And so we'll find someone that's close to them that's already feeding hungry families and say, hey, can you pick this up for us, and immediately give it away.
Yeah.
We typically look at distribution centers. You know, Walmart Distribution Center in Shelbyville is a huge donor of ours. Pepsi of Nashville is a huge donor of ours. It's all on the bulk side, you know, pallet in, pallet out. Most 90% of the food that we have is donated food. And so when we go out and say, hey, we need help feeding more people, people are like, well, you're not paying anything for food. Well, mostly that's true, but you have to go get it. So it costs fuel.
Involved in it, yeah.
A lot of fuel. You know, you think about just fueling up your car. Well, fill up a tractor trailer and then travel miles and miles to go do it. So there is an expense. But just to kind of give you an idea, and I think one of the coolest things that we're so proud of as a nonprofit, we're a 98-2 company. So only 2 cents out of every dollar you donate to us goes to overhead.
Wow.
Most nonprofits can't say that.
No. That's very admirable for Feed America First to be able to do that. We're talking with Mike Womack. He's with Feed America First. They're a nonprofit located in Murfreesboro. They serve 250 miles around Murfreesboro, so they serve Putnam County. I've known Mike for a long time, and they got a great program where they are making sure that food that would normally be thrown away is brought into their system and put out to people that are hungry and in need. That's amazing. One thing I want you to touch on, and I've saw it in some of your ads and stuff, is there's a difference between a sell-by date on a product and when it actually will go bad, right?
For sure.
So talk about that.
For sure. I believe it was somewhere in the 1970s. That consumers basically demanded food suppliers to say, hey, we need to know how fresh this stuff is. So they started putting a date on. Budweiser made it popular by going born on dating, if you remember back in the day, back when the frogs were popular with Budweiser.
Yeah.
But, and it got to be where people really started paying attention to the date. But the difference between a sell-by and a use-by, sell-by is when it is at its freshest. Use-by is when it gets dangerous. Most things, though, for instance, a Pepsi, a Coke, a Dr. Pepper, pepper, a chip, unless it's dairy or chicken or something like that, most things that have a sell-by date can go past sometimes up to a couple weeks. If it's chips or drinks or something like that, it might be months before you could ever tell the difference.
Yeah.
So we're throwing away things that don't need to be thrown away. Now, if you're nervous about it, toss it.
Yeah.
But most things, for instance, canned goods have dates on it. Wonder how long, how many years after that date is that canned good?
There's no telling, isn't there?
Telling.
So how do you, when it comes to Feed America First, how do you make that decision as far as that date on that product? I mean, do you say, okay, a year past that or 2 years past that, or do you have a set why you do that?
What we do, first of all, it's education, educating the people that are picking up food from us. But we rely on the manufacturer. Because if you will call, even if you're at home today and you're like, hey, I've got some canned goods that are close to date or out of date. If you will call that manufacturer, they'll tell you how good that product is past that date.
Is that publicized anywhere? Do they publicize it anywhere? You got to physically call them to ask
them?
That's crazy.
Because they would rather you go buy more food.
Oh, yeah. They don't want, their product, to sell product. They want to, well, that's amazing. We're talking with Mike Womack. He's the executive director of Feed America First. We got to take a break, though. Stay with us. Hope you're having a great week. Our guest today is Mike Womack. He's with Feed America First. He's actually the executive director. They're a nonprofit located in Rutherford County that covers a 250 miles radius going around Murfreesboro. They service Putnam County, and they're filling a need of folks that are going hungry, food insecurity. And it's kind of staggering when you talk about the numbers of 17.9% of all U.S. households are going to suffer from food insecurity at some point in time. It doesn't seem possible that we should be dealing with this in 2025, Mike, but we are.
We are.
And you're fulfilling the need. So you're getting all this food that would be going to the landfill or being thrown away. That's still good food. And you're distributing it out to the folks around in that 250 mile radius. You need help doing that though, right?
Always need help. Always need volunteers.
So tell people, how would they get in touch with you? How would they figure out how that they can volunteer and help?
The easiest way is pay attention to either our website, feedamericafirst.com, any of the social platforms that you like, we're on there. You can call me at my personal number at 931-265-5878. Or if you can remember my name, Mike Womack at feedamericafirst.com, you can email me. There's plenty of opportunity out there, obviously, to come volunteer. We serve in 6 different locations every Thursday, somewhere around that 250-mile area. area. For instance, we are in Cookeville every fourth Thursday, except for November and December. We move it up to the third one to stay away from the holidays. And so for about an hour and a half that day, we hand out to about 25 different ministries that come through. There's always room for more people to come and volunteer. That's right now held at Salem Church off of Salem Church Road. So people, it's going on right in the middle of town.
Right.
People don't even know what's going on.
Don't even know what's going on.
Correct.
Yeah, so we're trying to get the word out
about
Feed America First. And we're talking in the break. You saw a change in food and perishables and all those kind of things. And it had to do with COVID, right?
Pre-COVID, we would give away 70% non-perishable to 30% perishable. When COVID hit, first of all, the food that was coming out of the fields in California had to go somewhere. Restaurants are shut down, schools are shut down, so these farmers still need to move this product. So most food banks should have been flush. Well, also what got shut down at that time was manufacturers.
Yep.
So these soup aisles, your favorite store today that used to have a 16-foot soup aisle is now a 6-foot soup aisle. So if you follow that product backwards from your store, the distribution don't have as much, the warehouses don't have as much, they're not producing as much, so therefore we don't see as much. Now, the good thing is with the perishable, it's more nutritious, it's fresher, it's better. What it has made Feed America First do, we had to make a choice 3 years ago. We were using 53-foot trailers as our, basically our big coolers and freezers.
Yeah.
Well, when you're starting to find that much more perishable, that works, but it's not efficient.
Right.
So we built an 8,200-square-foot cooler and a 3,000-square-foot freezer at a $2 million price tag.
Wow.
However, we knew that when we needed to make that jump, we could not do a capital campaign the normal way. We needed to build it and then figure out a way to pay for it.
Yeah.
So we have paid about half of it off. So if anybody has $1 million check laying around,
we welcome
it right now. We want to pay that thing off. We don't like being in debt. Feed America First, until we built this, has never been in debt.
Wow.
God has always provided all of our needs, and He always will.
All right. Amen. Right.
But in that same mindset, it takes people to do it. We know God will never guide where He won't provide, but it may take Randy, it may take James, it may take Cindy to give a dollar.
Yeah.
And for every dollar, again, 98% goes to the mission, only 2% goes to overhead, but also that same dollar provides 15 meals over our history.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. And it's a God story.
It is. Well, with the food changing to more perishable stuff, you've got a short shelf life then on some of this stuff, right?
You need to move it pretty fast. Typically, something in our warehouse will last 72 hours. Besides the Thursdays we talked about where we give away food on off-site, on Wednesdays and Fridays, we have about 25 to 30 ministries that will come to us in Murfreesboro and pick up, and it's all perishable. So we get so much perishable, we need to move it. So a lot of times what these churches are doing, now, you know how it is, Randy, churches get stuck in a rut, and you just do what you do.
Yeah.
So I've had people say, well, we'd really like to pick up food from you, but we want to give away on a Tuesday, and you give away your food on Wednesday. Well, how about you give it away on Wednesday?
Yeah.
So
it's easier for them to change than you to change.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
So the day you pick it up, give it away.
Yeah.
People need it.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised how many people, a lot of people, we all have pride. We're not supposed to have pride, but we have pride.
Yeah.
And when we have needs, it's hard for us to ask for help. But you'd be surprised how many people, if you just took them something, if you see, if there's an inkling, if the Holy Spirit's telling you there could be a need there, if you'll just take a bag of food and put it on the porch and walk away, that's all you got to do.
That's it. And so with all the inflation that we had recently over the last couple of years, has that played a part in this? And folks, where their normal food bill may have been $200 and now it's $300 or $400, they may not can afford all of it. Are you seeing that with families?
Absolutely. You know, there are people are having to make decisions that they should not have to make. Should I put gas in my car? Do I need to make, you know, do I need to make this payment or that payment?
Yeah.
Do I need to get that medicine refilled? We live in the best country in the world.
Oh, absolutely.
And we should not be, regardless of who's in charge of politics, we still should not be in the shape that we're in.
Right.
We should make better decisions. And part of it's on us.
It is.
We need to make better decisions.
To the health regulations, I mean, I think about the restaurants. I think about all the food that gets put in the landfills and stuff. And I'm sure there's lots of other markets and grocery stores and stuff. Does that get in the way any that is there health regulations that won't let them save the food or give it away? I've heard about that, but I don't know if it's true or not.
It can. There is a Good Samaritan law that helps.
Okay.
But we do live, as great as our country is, we also live in a country that they like to litigate and they like to go to court.
Yeah.
And when that happens, people are afraid to donate. And so there are restaurants and there are companies out there that have gotten sued, and they're afraid to do that. And that's unfortunate.
It is.
So it does happen.
We were talking earlier about, and I hadn't thought about this, but after I was reading on your website, about that sell-by date and when food actually spoils. We talk about spam all the time, you know, that stuff, you know, you might, that they use it in emergency food supplies that might last years and years and years and years. There's a lot of food that we probably, you see that sell-by date and you think, oh, wow. Well, this is not good if it's past that date. That's not true in most cases, right?
It's not true, especially when it's a sell-by date.
Yeah.
If it's a use-by date, you probably should
Different
pay a little
story.
More pay attention to it. I think the only thing that people really should be nervous about is when it's poultry or dairy. Really pay attention to that. But other than that, you know, I think everything has a couple more weeks on it than what you think. If you're in doubt, if you will look up on that can, somewhere on that can or product somewhere is a phone number, customer service number from that manufacturer. If you will call them, they will let you know how good that item is past that date.
And so you can call and actually find out if it's still good or not. Do y'all handle a lot of frozen foods? Is that part of it?
Yeah, we do. A lot of soups, meats, things like that. We do have a lot of frozen foods.
So that's with freezer space, and then once you get ready, you got to get it out then, once it comes out of the freezer, out to the locations pretty quick then.
You do. And the best thing about the freezer, it gives you so much more time.
Yeah.
I will say this with frozen meat, where people usually make their poor decisions, is they'll leave something in their freezer for a long time. Chances are, when you get that turkey out or that ham or whatever, and if it's way past the date, it's probably not going to harm you.
Yeah.
But the texture is going to be different.
Yeah.
It's going to taste different.
It's going to taste different. So you got to be careful. Mike, I appreciate what y'all do with Feed America First. Tell them one more time, if they want to volunteer, donate, or whatever, how can they reach you folks?
FeedAmericaFirst.com. My phone number is 931-265-5878. Mike Womack at FeedAmericaFirst.com is my email. Our website is set up where you can donate straight to the website. One really cool thing that's coming up that you could be involved with, especially if we could meet eye to eye, August 10th in Livingston, we are going to do an event at 1806 Barbecue, which is right there on the square.
Yeah.
Kalen, that owns that restaurant, has offered up his restaurant that day. All proceeds go to Feed America First. And so it would be a great day. We're calling it Hunger Ends Here Sunday, trying to get all the churches involved and come over. You're going to eat Sunday anyway,
right.
So might as well come over there and eat.
Hey, that's a good
deal. Be part of it.
Absolutely. Thank you for what you're doing for our community. I appreciate you doing God's work, and you are always in our prayers.
Thank you, sir.
Stay with us. We'll be right back. My second guest is Mr. Chris Peterson. He's with the Wild Turkey Federation, and we're going to talk about what's called Jake's Day. It involves Mustard Seed Ranch and a big event y'all put on there for the kids. Chris, thanks for being on the show.
Yes, sir. We appreciate you having us and for you doing this.
Absolutely. So. Love Mustard Seed Ranch. Love your organization. Y'all been doing this for a while out at Mustard Seed. Tell us about the event, though.
I sure will. Glad to. We're getting ready for our annual Jake's Day event out at Mustard Seed Ranch. It's going to be Saturday, August the 16th from 9 a.m. to about probably 1 or 2 p.m. in the afternoon, rain or shine. And just to tell you a little bit about Jake's Day. Jake's stands for Juniors Acquiring Knowledge, Ethics, and Sportsmanship.
Wow.
Long. There you go. Remember that one, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, it was a program started underneath the National Wild Turkey Federation. And the National Wild Turkey Federation is a nonprofit that actually has just celebrated its 50th year.
Oh, wow.
And is headquartered in Edgefield, South Carolina, and has numerous chapters across the country, just like the chapter we have in Putnam County. And Jake's is a youth program that they sponsor and support, basically to get kids in the outdoors.
Get them outside,
let them do things like shoot BB guns, shoot skeet, shoot bows, fish, climb rock walls, shoot paintballs. And it's a program that has really just helped engage the younger generations to keep the important things like conservation and hunting heritage going, you know. So we do Jake's Day each year at Mustard Seed Ranch. We've got a great partnership with them. Of course, Mustard Seed and the team led by Elizabeth there, they look at it as a great way to give back to the community, to open up the ranch, have people come out. And we basically set up over 20-something activities that kids can come out, participate in, just like I mentioned, things of kids are all ages, boys, girls, 3 to 4 years old to teenagers. There's plenty to do. It's, I believe this is about our 13th year doing Jake's Day.
12 or 13th, yeah. It's you've been doing it for a while.
And it's really grown. We started in 2012. We had 300 kids. And I think right before COVID hit that summer, that event had over 800.
That's amazing.
So it, and it's actually been our Putnam County Jake's Day here has been nationally recognized at least five times as the biggest Jake's Day event in the country.
That's amazing.
In the United
Chris.
States.
That's and amazing.
It, and it's just to the great community we have here in
Absolutely,
Putnam County
yeah.
and the surrounding area, the Upper Cumberland, the support we get from the local businesses, folks like yourself, Sheriff Ferris. Community just really gets behind it, makes it a great day, and we just hope everybody comes out to enjoy it.
And this is open to the public, right?
Open to the public.
It doesn't make any difference where you live, and you talk about all ages just about to come out. We have a real issue with our young people. They're not out playing like we did when we were young, are they? I mean, our parents made us get out of
that's
the
right.
house,
that's
you know.
Exactly. And, turn the TV off yeah. and get outside kind of stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
And that's not happening anymore. And you see, we were talking about that at Rotary today, that the kids are stuck to their phones or their iPads or the computers or the TV or their games. They need to get outside and sunshine and the fresh air. And this gives them the ability to do this. And at the same time, Chris, to do things they might never have the opportunity to do as a kid, right?
Great point. Great point. I mean, a lot of kids grow up with parents and grandparents and brothers and sisters that help get them in the outdoors, may hunt and fish,
yeah.
but a lot of children don't have that.
No.
Parents just may have other interests, don't
right.
have places to go. And so Jake's Day, like you mentioned, really gives kids that don't get to experience that stuff a chance to come out and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And you're right. We've got to get our younger generations away from the electronics and out from the smartphones and the TVs and get them out there learning some other type stuff. So
social media has took over their minds, hasn't it?
It sure has.
And it's kind of scary. I was raised on a big farm, and so we had hundreds of acres to be able to get out and do all kinds of things. I mean, your parents had to make you come in the house.
They were come find you at dark.
Yeah, you know, and instead of, but today it's totally opposite. And so with the Wild Turkey Federation, they put this Jake's Day on all over the country. There's other ones that are done like this?
Absolutely, yeah. Each chapter, well, I'd say a high percentage of the chapters across the country do some form of Jake's Day or youth outreach event. We've been very blessed here in Putnam County to be nationally recognized many, many times. And, you know, like I say, kids can come out. It's not just for Putnam County, but kids of the UP, you know, Upper Cumberland, come out. We'll feed them hot dog lunch. We'll give them camo hats. We'll enter them to win some cool things, raffle drawings. And the great thing about it, because of all our great sponsors, it's absolutely free.
No
we
cost.
Don't charge a dime. Come and enjoy it.
I have parents all the time asking, what's some free events we can take our kids to? This is one. It's Jake's Day on August the 16th, which is a Saturday out at Mustard Seed Ranch. And you're going to start that morning at about 8:30.
Yep.
And go till probably 1:30 or so. And it's rain or shine.
Rain
now,
or
right?
shine. We're going to roll with it. Good Lord bless us with sun or rain. We're going to let it happen.
Hey, that's the way to go. You know, that's. And I saw you're going to have all kinds of bounce houses and ducking booths and all kinds of archery and BB guns and skeet shooting and all that. I mean, I think about kids today that maybe they're born and raised in the city and they don't have the opportunity. They may never have an opportunity to do archery or skeet shooting. That can be a treat to them, and I'm glad you do it. So our local Wild Turkey Federation, how many of you guys are involved in that?
There's about Lindsay Sylvie's the chapter president.
Yeah.
And I would say that she's got a committee of about 15 to 18 people now. They've really done a good job of growing it.
Yeah.
And in addition to Jake's Day, they're starting to do women's in the outdoors events. Of course, we love, our whole passion is taking kids turkey and deer hunting, which y'all know that about me.
Are you good at the turkey hunting?
Oh, yeah.
That's an art. I've never been any good with, you know, with doing the calls and attracting the turkeys in and everything. That's an art.
It's a sport, that's for sure, art. They have an annual fundraising banquet each year, usually about April time frame to coincide with turkey season. They usually have it at Leslie Town Center. But it's a great, great nonprofit charity that gives back, gets kids outdoors, does great things to preserve our hunting heritage and conservation, works with a lot of different other nonprofits because we've kind of got to protect what we have and preserve it because we'll wake up one day and we won't have it.
It's going to be gone.
Yep.
Is there anything you need, anything folks that they could donate or do anything? Do you open up for that or not?
We absolutely do. Two main ways. Number one, we have different sponsorship opportunities of different levels. If people want to be recognized as a Jake's Day sponsor, they can reach out to myself, reach out to Lindsay. We're both on Facebook. We can get them connected with that. But I would say probably the biggest thing, if somebody feels led to come help us and volunteer that day, takes a lot of helping hands to put on a kids event for 800 kids, you know what
absolutely.
I'm saying? No experience required, just the need your willingness.
Absolutely.
But, so volunteer and sponsorship opportunities.
That's great. Yeah. Chris, thanks for being on the show and telling us about this. We love Mustard Seed Ranch. Your group, too. Y'all are great to put this on. And it's Jake's Day 2025. That's Saturday, August the 16th. We're going to start at about 8:30 that morning and go to about 1:30 that afternoon. I bring your kids out. It's free. They guarantee that they're going to have a good time.
Guaranteed.
Thank you and your organization for putting
this on. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. Well, that's our show. Thanks for joining us this week. Hope you have a great rest of your week, and may God continue to bless Putnam County.